So today, as we celebrate the feast, the solemnity of the baptism of our Lord Jesus Christ, I actually have a few questions for you, okay? So here we go. It's not really quiz time with Father, but I'd like for you to do a show of hands for the answers to the following questions. How many of you know the date of your birthday? Okay, wonderful. I'm really super glad to hear that. Okay, fantastic. Great. Thank you very much. Now, how many of you know the date of your baptism? Okay, a little bit less. Okay, that's fine. Cool. You have a homework assignment. Okay, very good. And how many of you know the name of the person who baptized you? Okay. We had that last night as well. So more people remember the name of the person who baptized them than the date. That's an interesting thing. Okay, fantastic. Now, how many of you were baptized by me at any point? So, okay, fantastic. Okay, cool. Okay, wonderful. Because Jesus Christ is the Lord of time, right? He who is the Alpha and the Omega, right? The beginning and the end. History means something, right? Dates mean something. And for Catholics, they definitely mean something, right? We love to keep records, right? In the parish office, we write down every time a baby is baptized, every time there's a confirmation, every time there's a first communion or a wedding. We keep meticulous records of all of these things. Why? Because they're important things not only to know, right, but also to celebrate. Okay? Now, when we think about celebrating the anniversary of the day when which we came into this world, right, I always remember my mother used to say, when a baby is born, we should actually be sad because that poor child is born into this valley of tears, right? And when someone at the completion of their earthly life passes over to Jesus, that's when we should be happy, right? Kind of a weird thing to say happy birthday to your children with, right? So, but she was on to something, right? Because on the very first day of our human birth is really also the first day of our death. The wages of sin is death, and we who are born as children of Adam and Eve are what St. Paul calls children of wrath, right? And so we are destined, because of that original sin, to die. But yet that's not the plan of the Lord Jesus for us, is it, right? He gives us the possibility of saving faith in his passion, death, and resurrection. Which means those of us who believe on the Lord Jesus can have not just life in this world, which is destined to pass away, but abundant life in the Spirit in this world and eternal life with all the blessed in heaven, right? And so that begins with the sacrament of baptism. Right? August 28th, 1986. There was a little Baptist church on the other side of town. Yes, I'm from the other side of the tracks. Okay, so. Preacher Wayne Norton was the man who made me a Christian. Right? And I remember everything about that. Now, many of you were baptized as babies, right? So I love asking the children, you know, do you remember your baptism? Oh, yes, Father. I'm like, that's pretty amazing, right? I was in vacation Bible school. And I remember the preacher asked us all to bow our heads, right? And he talked about the plan of salvation that Jesus has for every single one of us. And he asked us a question. Do you want to know Jesus? Who wants to know Jesus? And of course, my hand shot up. I do. Okay. Well, then you must profess your faith in Christ Jesus and be baptized. Now, of course, the problem with that, though, is that those of you who know our Baptist brothers and sisters know that they baptized by full immersion, right? And, of course, I couldn't swim. And so I was absolutely and utterly terrified of being baptized, right? And so, like, I would sit there in the bathtub and try to dunk myself to see what would happen. I'm like, this is going to go terribly, right? I'm going to die in the baptismal pool. That was my fear, right? And so I was absolutely a complete nervous wreck when I was plunged, immersed into the passion, death, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Plunged into a watery grave is what the church fathers call it. Right? And then was lifted from that watery grave to the supernatural life of grace as a child of God and an heir to heaven. Now, you know, it's interesting. God gave me a very beautiful consolation on that day. Because I was so terrified, I guess he figured I needed it, right? And as I'm like dripping out of the baptismal font, I had to go out of the church building into the religious education, the Sunday school building, to put on new clothes, right? And there was a rainbow in the sky, right? And I thought, how cool is that? Right? Because I remembered, of course, the story from the book of Genesis where our Lord puts the rainbow in the sky as a sign that he would no longer ever destroy the world by flood, right? And I thought, thank God I survived my own little personal flood in a hot tub about this big, right? But it was the beginning of a new phase in my walk with Jesus, right? What a tremendously incredible, beautiful gift. Right? You know, as Catholics, persons, places, and things are important. Why? Because creation is good, right? As Catholics, we are 100% pro-life church, right? Precisely because life is beautiful. Life is a gift, and it's always to be celebrated, right? But yet, there's more. There's so much more than what this world that passes away has to offer us. And that comes with knowing that because love is stronger than death, there's nothing that this world can throw us that God cannot, by love, conquer. What a tremendously incredible and beautiful thing, because we receive not just a gift, but we receive the giver of all good gifts through sanctifying grace because of our baptism. And so that means that the people who were part of our journey, the people who baptized us, whether it be priests or deacons or ministers or lay people in emergencies, right? Those people are important to us. Right? Those places are important to us. Right? St. Louis the Ninth, the King of France, who was one of the most powerful men of his age, said, I think more about the church of my baptism than the place where I was crowned king. Right? That font right back there is an incredible place. It's an incredible place because that means those of us who were destined to have a world that would pass away have been signed, sealed, and delivered with the blood of the Lamb so that we could live abundantly and live forever in Him. And so that means that baptismal font is a holy, is a sacred place. And so as Catholics, of course, when we come into church, the first thing that we do, as soon as we come into the door, we remember that the doors, the gates of heaven were opened to us as the heart of Jesus was opened with a lance on the cross and out flowed blood and water. And so we mark ourselves with the sign of the cross as our hands are dripping with the waters of baptism, right? We remind ourselves that in the baptism of Jesus, the Trinity itself, the inner nature of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as love, the beloved, and the love between the love and the beloved, right? That's revealed to us. Something that reason can't get to on its own, that revelation had to give to us as a gift. And so we mark our very bodies with the cross of Jesus in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as that water goes to the ground, right? But think about how many times we come into church and it's our spiritual home, right? It should be a homey place. You know, sometimes people come in and, you know, they're a little surprised that as Catholics, you know, we don't love bomb people, right? Sometimes people come in and they're like, no one's really talking to me, right? They're like, well, yeah, it's not about you. That sounds even worse, right? We don't roll the red carpet out for you, do we? Why? Because you're home, right? This is your home. You belong because by your baptism you are part of the family of God. You are part of the sovereign royal house of the Lord, right? And that's a birthright that nothing can ever take away from you except for sin, right? Remember your dignity, St. Leo the Great taught Christians. But how often do we come into the church, right, and we're kind of distracted, right? Squirrel, what? Okay, right? Maybe it's just me. Right? And we go to make the sign of the cross, and it looks like we're wiping away flies or mosquitoes or something, right? We do this, right? What is that, right? Imagine a person who is a complete heathen and pagan who know nothing about Jesus Christ, nothing about God, nothing about love, nothing about mercy, nothing about compassion, and he comes in and he sees this, right? But think about the power of the life-giving cross. When you make that sign of the cross on your body with holy water, with reverence, with devotion, with intention, and attention, right? The power of that witness, the intercessory power of that sign of the cross as we ask that the blood of the Lamb cover our loved ones, those intentions of prayer that we carry in our hearts, and even calling the blood of Christ down in mercy and compassion on our enemies, on those who have done evil to us. Because there is power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power in the waters of baptism. And we think also when we come into church, right, before we go into the pews, you know, we genuflect, right? We go down on that right knee all the way to the ground. Right? Down in adoration falling, lo, the sacred host we hail. Just as the Word was made flesh and came down from heaven to earth, in our very bodies, we image that same coming down of love from heaven. Right? But do we do it with intention? Do we do it with attention? Or do we just kind of come in and bob and weave, right, on our way into the pew, right? Think about what that witness means for us. Right? I can't tell you how wonderful and amazing it is as a priest of Jesus Christ to worship with you Sunday after Sunday in a church which is full, right? Some of y'all could scooch in a little bit more and let some of these people sit down, but yeah, so there's your correction for the day, right? Okay. But it is an awesome thing for us to be able to pray together in a place which is alive, right? And it's alive not because we're trying to do something interesting and creative, right? Because we're not all that, well, interesting or creative, right? We're just being faithful to the tradition that we have received. But I want you to think that that isn't the case everywhere, is it? I talk to priest friends of mine in many other parts of the country, and they are managing decline. There are parishes that are being merged, right? There are churches that are being closed, right? And I ask myself, like, why is this happening, and how can we make sure that it doesn't happen here? Right? And, you know, you can sit there and, Monday quarterback all of this, right? And say, well, there's all kinds of reasons, right? There's, the secularization of our society. There's scandals in the church. There's really bad preaching from priests, right? You know, you can come up with a whole litany of all of these different things. And all of those may be valid, and they may have their place. But in my heart of hearts, I believe that the number one reason that the faith is dying in so many places is this. We no longer remember. We no longer remember who and whose we are. There's this kind of amnesia. There's this forgetting of the power of the life-giving cross, of the story of redemption. So often, we hear the story of the Nativity, right? Jesus being born of a virgin and laid in swaddling clothes in a manger with shepherds and angels and the wise men and a really large camel, right? And we think, it's too good to be true, right? It's too good to be true. And so then we begin to let the concerns of the world, right, invade our hearts. And so we don't realize that it is truth. Right? Truth exists because the incarnation happened. And we can have access to that truth through saving faith. But we have to remember, not just once, but over and over and over again. And the church calls the faithful baptized what? To the wedding feast of the Lamb. Do this in memory of me, right? And it's not just kind of recalling a historical event that happened 2,000 years ago, when Jesus and the disciples in the upper room were sharing a meal together. Right? It is a remembrance which makes present in the here and now, and is also an anticipation of future glory. Have you ever thought, whenever you come to that communion rail, you are coming to that threshold between earth and heaven? And so this morning, on this feast of the baptism of the Lord, I just have one last question for you. Do you remember?